Welcome to the Raising Grace podcast. This is your host, Sheila Chester. I am the mother of three children, and I do not know what I am doing. So I'm contacting regular parents just like you and I to help me find the best ways to help my kids and myself thrive. And maybe in the meantime, I can help you thrive as well. We aren't so different, you and I. With a little grace, we can do this. Today, I speak with my friend, Savannah. Savannah is the mother of two boys and the wife of a real-life cowboy. She and her husband live in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, where they are figuring out life in the best ways possible. I have so much respect for Savannah for so many things, but mostly for living a life on the Great Plains that seems almost forgotten in our American history. I'm so glad you get to listen to this conversation. Welcome, Savannah.
Okay, well, I'm Savannah Simmons, mother to Brindle and Roan Simmons. They are 8 and 6, respectively. And they are rowdy, fun-loving cowboys.
Little hooligans, if you will.
They are hooligans.
Wild. Free-range.
Yep.
Chillins.
But they do have boundaries, and they are somewhat respectful, but they know how to live it up on the ranch.
All I know is that my son thinks your kids are the bomb diggity.
Well, that's good. That's a good, a nice honor for them.
The city kid.
Yeah.
Thinks the country kids
that's
are the luckiest boys on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you live like 30 minutes outside of a town of 700 people.
Yeah, I live in the middle of nowhere. We are 40 minutes from our post office and the school where my kids should go. But the town in South Dakota, the town of 700 in South Dakota, is closer than our actual town, so to speak.
By how many minutes? Like by 10?
Like 10.
By 10 minutes.
10 minutes, though. If you save 10 minutes every time you leave the driveway.
I suppose.
It makes a big difference.
And then how do you do that in the wintertime? Like during school, you're not driving them in every single
day.
No,
we have a house in town.
You got a townhouse.
We have a townhouse. It's mm-hmm. not actually a townhouse, but we call it the townhouse. We have a house in town that we stay in. We usually come in Monday and leave Thursday. Sometimes we go home during the week to go see Dad, but a lot of times we just stay in. It's a lot easier.
And what does your husband do?
He's a rancher. He's a cowboy.
Straight up.
Straight up cowboy.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Cow wrestling.
Yes.
Cowpoke.
Cowpoke indeed.
And that video that you posted of him fighting with his horse.
Yeah.
He won, though. He won that horse battle.
I feel like he stayed on his horse.
He stayed on the horse.
He stayed on.
That it was like real-time rodeo, folks. Yeah.
And I got a million views on TikTok.
You did,
for
because
it.
Do you get any money for that? No,
no.
You don't.
That's, when do they send the check?
Yeah. I'll be waiting patiently for that check. So I think you have an interesting story because you literally live in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you're parenting by yourself for the most part. I mean, your husband works like 10, 12-hour days.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work to take care of a whole bunch of cows. And I've basically committed myself to almost single parenting the boys and just what needs to happen so that my husband can, you know, live his dreams and also support us. And so everything I do revolves first and foremost for the care of the boys. And then whatever else I can fit in is good too. So I've found a way to allow my husband to have his dreams, and I have my own that, you know, we all just kind of make work and thrive in our weird middle of nowhere situation.
Right. So you've just managed to make
three books.
Savannah's written three children's books,
mm-hmm.
and of which I have all of them.
That's sweet.
Thank and you. You make jewelry.
Yep.
And you do other, you write for magazines.
Yep. Kind of more agriculture publications
mm-hmm.
has been my focus. And
you
it's
make
my passion too.
TikTok videos.
Yeah. I mean, let me.
Professional TikToker.
I guess I wouldn't put that on my resume, but it's fun.
Hey kids, what did your mom do? She TikToked.
I got that video because I take horse videos for the guys on the ranch. So they
to sell their horses.
Sell horses. Yep. So I'm kind of a videographer and photographer. And
so what? I'm trying to think because I got a city kid, mm-hmm. and you have ranch kids.
Yep.
And you know, when I send my son to the ranch, he's living his best life.
Mm-hmm.
Do your kids see that as they are living their best life?
I think so, because at the end of the school week, they are ready to be home. We basically pull into the yard. Sometimes they beg to jog half of our mile and a half driveway. They're just so ready to be out of the car. And they, I don't see them for the rest of the evening and probably not the rest of the weekend. They come in every once in a while, make themselves a peanut butter and jelly, or I ring our dinner bell. I have a dinner bell.
That's awesome.
I go out and ring that thing if I made them some food. But so they come in, have a bite to eat, and just head right back out. They know they have chores to do. They're happy to do them. Most of the time, that's part of their, you know, how they live and what it takes to have animals.
What are their chores?
They primarily take care of the bottle calves, feed the dogs. We have kittens right now. So they, you know, take care of those kittens and check on them. They have inside chores too. They almost exclusively do the dishwasher anymore. I don't do the dishwasher.
So do you offer a camp for children? Can I just send my son to your house for a month? He probably wouldn't complain.
Yeah. No, it's just the norm. It's what they do. And so they know they have things that need to get done. And then once that's done, they pretty much have free reign. They know where they can go and what they're allowed to do. And they stay together and they watch out for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they saw a snake. We had a rattlesnake in the yard last week and they came running and hollering and we took care of it. You know, they know what to do if something goes awry because they are pretty young.
And they're pretty smart too. They got to be pretty land smart. Like
they know to watch for the horses. They can't just run amok. They can't go to the creek by themselves or anything like that. But they just play and use their imaginations. And that's, you know, pretty beautiful for them to just have a completely free childhood.
Yeah. Really. No, it sounds, you know, I had a great childhood on the ranch, but I don't think I recognized it as great until I left.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that they know it, but they probably don't fully. I think being in town actually helps because they're like, Mom, what do we do here? And I'm like, well, you can go outside too. There are friends here. And they're like, well, yeah, but they just, you know, they just want to play with the goats. They want to go rope the goats or they want to go check on the ponies or, you know, just do, I don't know. They just find things to stay busy with on the ranch. And that's not to say they don't have millions of toys because they have far too many. You know, they've got a trampoline and a little stock tank pool and stuff like that. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless, but they just truly entertain themselves and have fun with each other. And that's a really cool
thing.
That's
awesome.
Well, Rowan went over and stayed with my brother. He's the waterman on the ranch. He went over and stayed with my brother and sister-in-law. And Brindle stayed home because it is they bicker enough that it's nice to just take one or the other. But they really don't all-out fight. Anyway, so Rowan came back from my brother's house from his sleepover. And just went, I was like ready for a hug. And he blew past me and went and hugged Brindle. And Brindle just held him. Oh, they were so
happy. And your mommy heart just fell right out of your chest.
I got a hug after. They just purely love each other. And that's pretty cool because they're all each other has out there. So,
how did you grow up?
I grew up in kind of a small town, not as small as Edgemont. I was maybe 6 miles from school or something, but I was always worried about riding my horse. I had friends and you know, that was good, but my friends all went and partied and did stuff like that, I guess, in my high school years, and I just wanted to ride my horse. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty happy to be home, and we spent a lot of time outside, too. We only had 40 acres, you know, so it wasn't like
anything. And then how big is the ranch that you guys live on?
Oh.
How many hundreds of miles?
Well.
It's so huge.
I don't even know what it is right now. I think 150,000 acres.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's
that's
massive.
Huge.
It's massive. But, yeah, so they just have a small part that, you know, we call our piece of the ranch. Not our piece of the ranch, but where we live.
Where your house where is and the where barn
our,
is.
Yep, yeah. And where our kids kind of wander. They obviously don't wander the whole ranch, but they wander, you know.
They got plenty of space.
We live, yeah.
No traffic.
No.
Couple rattlesnakes here and there.
Couple rattlesnakes. There's not really like mountain lions in our area or any, there aren't any real dangers. It's not like bears when you're up in the mountains or, you know.
Right.
So the danger is relatively minimal. It's mm-hmm. probably just our horses, watching for horses, or occasionally we have bulls in the back pasture. And so they know to watch and take in what's happening around them and what to do, you know, if they do need to get away from something or yeah. how to take care of each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Boys are lucky.
Yeah.
Are you parenting the way that you expected to parent?
I think so. I'm maybe a little more stern than I expected to be, but part of that is kids on the ranch need to listen and mind obedient, like immediately. They need to be obedient because if we've been in brandings where you brand calves and we leave a couple mother cows in there. And if a mother cow is coming down the fence kind of mad, I need to say, kids, get up on the fence, and they need to do it. And we can't sit and talk about why, you know, why do I have to get on the fence or, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. That can't happen. We can
your
talk about it after.
Instantaneous. You your safety is right now.
Do what you're told immediately. And so we...
Or I can't trust you to be out here and right. do the cowboy stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it that's
I
truly
need to trust
what,
you to be safe.
That's truly what it yeah. is. Yeah. And so we practice that in all of our parenting, I think. When they're asked to do something, they're expected to do it and they're just kind of expected to be immediate about it. And that's just practice for those times when we tell them for a safety purpose.
You seem like a good team. Like
we try to be. We talk about Team Simmons. And so, you know, if there's outside pressure coming in on us, you know, or outside stresses, we just kind of look to each other and go, okay, Team Simmons. And that's like our reset. We're here for these four people first, mm-hmm. ourselves and our kids. That is the core, you know, important factor in our lives always. And everything else comes after. And I think that's just how God wants us to handle those situations.
Well, and I feel like God designed it that way.
Yeah.
It's not yeah. even that. That's how God wants you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
God designed it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really have a choice but no. to do it. This yeah. way works the best way. That's how.
And so that's first and foremost on our minds that, you know, God made man and wife as a team and we're just there to support and lift our kids.
How do you build community when you live in the middle of nowhere? And I know during the school year you are living in town,
mm-hmm.
but how do you build that community?
Well, so sometimes it isn't always community. And knowing that, so we spend so much time together that we have to be good with each other. And so that's maybe why my kids don't fight. Because a lot of people talk about community, and that is awesome. And it takes a community to raise a child. And whenever we can get around community, it enriches our children. But it's not a necessity for how we live. So we have to be okay for those times where it's just the four of us. Like in the winter, it can be pretty quiet and we kind of just hole up and just enjoy one another. So community is kind of a coming and going type situation mm-hmm. for us.
What about for you as a mom? Like, do you need space ever?
I mean, probably more than I get, but not really. I'm lucky in that my kids want to be outside or want to be together
they're
or
giving
play
you that
together.
Space. Yeah.
So they've made that easier for me in terms of that. And so I'm also pretty okay being in the middle of nowhere. And that's not for everybody, but I'm pretty good with it.
And so, you also have an online community
mm-hmm.
through yeah. your, what you do for work and what yeah. you, so you're not.
I'm not alone.
You yeah. find your people where yeah. you need to find them. Mm-hmm. And
I'm glad to spend time with them, but it's not like a make or break in my life.
Right.
And that's just, you know, probably an inner peace from God type situation, or this is what it is. And we've accepted and learned how to thrive in that situation versus looking at it and saying, how can I change this when that just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've made it good for ourselves and we know that we have to be kind to one another and love on each other and also give each other space, you know, where we are at times and things like that.
That can be a tricky balance.
It can, yeah. We go through phases. Our kids go through phases where we're like, ugh, we're just kind of rubbing each other or wrong or, you know, whatever. But for the most part, we've lived there for 8 years. My youngest was born there, and that's all he's known. My older one had his first birthday at the ranch, and that's really all he's known, too. And so, like I said, it's not for everybody. But it's a peaceful thing for us, and we're generally happiest at the ranch and happiest together.
What do you think a city kid could learn from a country kid?
Granted, my kids have space to roam, but I allow my kids to be bored and then learn what to do with that boredom. And so they don't always have me ready to hand them an activity or an iPad or, you know, we don't have internet.
And oh, so Lord.
I don't have internet. We have cell service out there, but we don't have internet. And so my kids don't even have an iPad to pick up necessarily.
And
so
even if they did, it wouldn't be any, there wouldn't be anything on it.
No, there's no internet. So, so allowing them to be bored and then just figure out what to do with together or what they want to do individually. Like I said, they have toys, they have endless toys and things like that, but they're allowed to imagine so much and they learn a lot about themselves and what they like, and what they're good at, you know, with time to pursue that.
Yeah. That
so instead of filling that time, they.
That does make a lot of sense because, you know, we'll be at home and it seems like the first stop is always TV or internet. And how do I, you know, I'll say go outside. Well, where can I go?
Right.
And, you know, my son is nine, so I'm allowing him to go farther and farther.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm starting to get to know my community, which is not 700 people, like how I grew up. And it was, you know, I used to play in the ditch all the time. And there's spots that he can play, but there's crazy people. There are literal crazy people where we live.
Yeah.
A lot of city parenting is fear. It's just fear-based parenting and trying to let go of that a little bit and trusting that our kids, like we've taught them well enough to, if you're not comfortable, run home. Or he's got his little GPS watch he can call me on.
Yeah.
And that's 100% why I got that for him, because it's for my comfort.
And that is hard. I watch my kids more. Even when we're in this sleepy little town, when we're in town, I watch my kids more. And so I sure recognize that. And so it's about finding that balance. You know, they don't necessarily have to have that space to learn to use that imagination. But sometimes it's hard because they're like, oh, I'm bored. They come to you. Mom, what can I do? I need something to do. And I'll just give them the option. You can, you know, go clean your room or you can go play. And they're like, oh, I'm going to go play. And if they come back to me, well, you could, you know, go clean the bathroom or go play. I think I'm going to go play. You know? And so sometimes I just make play look more appealing, even if they don't know what that play is going to be.
You figure it out or you're cleaning the bathroom. Kid.
Yeah. And you could, you probably should go clean your room. But at the same time, oh, just go play and go enjoy life while you can.
Go be a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a story about a challenging experience you had with your child and how you overcame it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Brindle has struggled with just keeping up with his class. He is an outdoors kid. He is kind of common sense minded. He is not a book savvy kid. And he never will be. He's never going to be one that just pulls ahead in school. He's always going to be just dragging behind, come along, you know.
Get through it.
If he can count cows.
That's me. That's how I was.
If he can count cows, he is happiest. But that's the only math he wants to do. So.
I feel that, Brindle. I feel that.
Yeah.
Real tight.
Yeah. And so I talked about how my kids don't have, you know, we don't have internet. And so I downloaded some shows, and when they get to watch TV, it is a treat because they never do it. They just don't. So I told him, we started this last summer, if he reads me a book, he could watch a half hour worth of iPad. And that was me really giving because I really needed him to work on reading. And part of it, most of it wasn't his reading that he was struggling with, but just kind of the attitude behind it. And so he would run into it. He'd be reading wonderfully and then just all of a sudden decide that he was struggling and throw up his hands and throw a big old fit and say he didn't want to do it. And so I was trying not to put more punishment and, you know, more stress behind reading. So I was trying to find a way to reward him for doing it instead of punishing him for not doing it. Hence the iPad. That is like the ultimate reward for them. But then they do get bored with it and they're like, well, I want to go play. But anyway, so if he was reading his book and decided that he was going to have a big old fit and I can't do it and I don't know this word and I can't do it, then he had to put the book down and he was not allowed to keep reading and he lost the iPad time. But if he wanted to circle back and try to reread that book without that kind of come apart, then he could earn that TV again. So as soon as that, I don't know, right or wrong, I don't know, but it worked for him. It worked well for him. As soon as that evidence of, you know, struggle came up, even if he wasn't actually struggling, I was there if he needed help with a word, but he just decided to throw a fit instead, you know.
Been there.
Yeah. So he just had to take a moment, calm down. That's what the putting the book away was, you know. He would keep trying to read while having a little fit. And I'm like, no, just put it down. There's a chance to try again. But you just can't go on if you're not, you know, in the right frame of mind. So it was about finding that frame of mind, finding the try, and then getting rewarded for trying. And oh, it made a huge difference for him.
Yeah, yeah. I have a struggling reader myself. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of about giving them what works for them.
We've been reading Harry Potter, which is my first time reading it.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Don't judge me.
Excuse me, I gotta go. We're done here. I'm dismissed. What?
Yeah, it's been so much fun. So I'm excited to read it. Amazing. And he begs me to read it.
Yeah.
And I talked to his teacher, and she had said, reading to them is as good as them reading. So I'm like, okay. Because I can't get him to read. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no monetary. There's no, like, I can't. We have TV. We have, no. Yeah. There's no, nothing I can give. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could be like, okay, you get a half hour of ranch time. I'm just going to drive him up there.
It'll build up. You can bang it all
the time. You can get all next summer if you read every day, okay? Yeah, so I totally get that. Finding the thing that works for your kids is such a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you kind of hit the nail on the head. If you can, especially screen time, if you can negotiate that time in a beneficial way that doesn't drive you totally bonkers.
Yep. And he started to do it. He'd propose it to me. He'd go, Mom, I want to watch a show. And I'd say, okay, read a book. And by the end of the summer, he goes, Mom, I want to read this book. And that was code for, I want to watch the show. But he was verbalizing, Mom, I want to read this book.
Yeah, he mentally took that and switched it to, I want to read this book. And that's how he's going to remember, oh, I'm going to read this book. And then he's going to maybe.
Yeah. In this summer, he's reading for fun. And that's huge. We also found books he loves. And that's a huge.
Right. That's all, that was really hard for me with my son because he loves outdoorsy books. And there's really not a lot. There really isn't. Like, we had to find, we ordered fishing books online that were really hard to come by, which I might have to share with you, actually. Yeah. I think that. Because we only read them once. And then there is some Getting a Kid Got Lost in the Mountains. My Side of the Mountain, which is actually a classic from Maine. When we were out in Maine, somebody said, every kid is required to read this in Maine. Cool. And it was a true story about a kid who got lost in the mountains and survived. Yeah, survivalist books like Bear Grylls. He's all over that stuff. Oh, cool. But yeah, to find books that'll interest a boy who only wants to be on 100% adventure, real life adventure all the time, not like the fantasy stuff. Surprisingly, he is into Harry Potter, but it took me a while to convince him.
Well, it's like you picking up a book and being like, well, this one just doesn't interest me. I do that as a, you know, an avid reader, as an adult. Yeah, this one isn't it. And so I wouldn't want to push through reading that either.
Yeah.
It's just kind of boring to me.
Right.
And so finding a book for him was a huge piece of it.
Right. And finding, for my son, too, a teacher that loved reading. Mm-hmm. His second grade teacher skyrocketed him into a non-hatred of reading.
Yeah.
So, like, all I needed was him to not hate it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was some books that he'd come. He like, we need to get Jan Brett books. We need to get these books. We need. I'm like, I'll order whatever. What do you need? What do you want?
Once they figure out that there's a story in that book.
Yeah.
You know, and something that hooks them, then it's
right. Totally and the illustrations different. Sometimes mm-hmm. are the story. Mm-hmm. And well, look at how great and detailed this illustration is, and what does the story tell you without the words? And I'm like, are you my son? this is what's happening. So I totally get that he was in summer school all last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've summer schooled this summer just to try to keep him up with his class. He's just kind of behind, and he's always going to. He's always going to trail behind, and so I just have to be there to support him and help him through it. And again, we're doing it with lots of rewards. Consistency is a huge piece of it. You know, he was allowed to go brand for about 2 weeks with his dad, and I'd let him go brand, and they're done now, and so we're right back into, back into doing his schoolwork consistently, so...
Yeah, when you say brand for 2 weeks, literally it takes 2 weeks to go.
It took them 3 weeks to brand. He didn't go the whole
first. Oh my gosh. 3 weeks.
And how many day? They do like 200 head a day.
And how many cattle does the ranch?
Like 2,500. Oh my God. 2,400 right now. Yeah. So I mean, he's allowed to be a kid. He's still, when he's done with his schoolwork for the day, you know, it's not an all day thing. It's kind of in the morning. And when they get through it quicker, then they know they can go play. And so that's part of the reward, too. So it's just finding what works for them. But we have had to do schoolwork and find a way to make that work.
I feel like you were born to be a boy mom.
Probably.
Like that was in your DNA from day one.
I didn't see it originally.
Jesus is like, Savannah's going to have boys.
Just rowdy.
Rowdy, sweet, crazy boys.
Wild boys.
And they are going to melt her heart.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going to watch. So your boys, I've met them, and they are pretty funny. And they've done some pretty crazy stuff. What's a good story you got for us?
Well, so Brindle, I guess I could tell you, before branding last week, Brindle was so worried about hobbling his pony. He's got the sweetest pony.
Explain hobbling.
Yep, I will. Okay. He's got the sweetest pony, and just the best fit for him. He's kind of tall, almost like a short horse. He's not like a little pony like you might be picturing. And so hobbling is essentially tying their front feet together comfortably.
So they don't run off. It's not uncomfortable.
So then they can eat grass and enjoy their lives while you're branding.
And not run
the
off.
The calves, they right. don't run off. Yeah. You don't have to tie them to a trailer, but they still stay put. And so Brindle used his hobbles for the first time ever that he got, I think, for his first or second birthday from his godparents. So he's had these hobbles. I think they have his initials and everything. They're sweet as can be. But he's never used them. So he had his little hobbles set out by his boots the night before. And he was going to hobble his pony the next day. Just fretted about it all night long. I just knew he was just, he hardly slept. He was so worried about hobbling his pony. And he comes in after branding the next day. And I was like, hey, bud, how'd it go? Mom, he said. His pony is Freedom, which I think is sort of poetic. Oh, a pony named Freedom. His pony's named
Freedom.
A pony named Freedom. Isn't that just like a children's book?
Right, it is. It is Freedom.
So his pony named Freedom. He goes, Mom, Freedom and hobbles go together like cake and frosting. And I just knew that the day went okay. And that's his way of...
The pony was not offended by the hobbles.
No, able to eat grass. Happy Life little pony. Good. Yep. Yeah,
that's fantastic. It's a totally different world that you guys live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he worries about things like hobbles.
It's a different kind of paradise.
Yeah.
You don't have the Minecraft conversations that I have.
No.
You're a lucky lady.
Yeah.
You just are like, there's a rattlesnake in the front yard and Mama going to go kill it.
Dad went and killed that one.
You let Dad do it? I was scared. That exact thing happened to my son this week.
Did it?
Yeah, he called me last Thursday. First time he called me in 2 weeks, he's been here. And I was like, oh, do you miss me, honey? And he's like, Mom, yeah, no, listen, I got a story. Focus. Listen, I was on Minecraft, okay? And I was playing along, and Grandpa comes in, and he's like, Nicholas! And I was like, oh, no, I got in trouble. What did I do? Like, this is his story.
Yeah.
And he runs outside, and he's like, there's a rattlesnake in the middle of the yard. I was like, well, Grandpa hadn't killed it yet? Well, no, I got to see it alive first. Yeah. So you could hear it rattle, yeah. Mom. He's like, then Grandpa killed it with the shovel. And I was like,
yeah, that's the kind of thing.
What do you think your biggest parenting win has been so far?
Oh, gosh, I don't. Raising happy kids, probably.
Kids that love each other.
Yeah, they love each other. They're happy together.
I'll just answer this one for you.
Do it.
Your kids love each other, and that's amazing.
Yeah. They're just happy together and happy. They're also happy apart. We're trying to find that nice balance where they're just comfortable with who they are, who they'll end up being. We love them for who they are. They're very different individuals. And so they know how to work together, even though they do have differences, and try to communicate those differences and mm-hmm. what they're thinking and what they're feeling.
So you're like really real life parenting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that other people don't real life parent, but your kids are doing work.
Mm-hmm.
They're working. And you're like, if this brings you joy, like their play is their joy and their play is their work and their play is the chores. And and then there's actual chores that may not like at home as much. Yeah. But then, OK, you do that for 5 minutes and then go play.
Carry on.
Work again. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like growing up out here very much is your childhood. You're learning to live your childhood forever, you know?
It's just joy in finding joy in all aspects of what you do, even if it's not your favorite thing. Just enjoying the time together. They have cute little rhythms when they do the dishwasher. They take turns. One of them has to get on a step stool to put the plates away. And when they're done with the plates, they yell, "Move on!" And then I could just hear, you know? So that's how they know. And then one takes the silverware, the other one does the cups. And they just have, like, these rhythms. And so they've made even just doing the dishwasher kind of fun for themselves and for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't generally fight one another on that. They know they take turns getting up on the step stool and bringing the plate to the one on the step stool. So, you know, it's just sort of having that joy and then just carrying that through life.
What is giving you hope right now for the future?
Just that my kids kind of can always have each other through their lives and will probably be okay on their own as well. So that's kind of my personal hope for each of them. That they can find balance and confidence within themselves.
Right. That is mm-hmm. such a huge.
So they have different interests and, mm-hmm. and it's okay for them to play with those interests together. They're okay. One of them will say, you know, I'm going to go out and Brindle will say, I'm going to go play with my goats. And Ron's like, okay, cool. I'm going to finish my Lego project. And they don't crumble when the other one's not there.
Mm-hmm. They can do individual things.
Yeah.
And also
and
be
okay with it. Yeah. They know what they like, and know what kind of lifts them up and excites them. So it's cool that individually they're, they know themselves, but, and together they're able to work simultaneously and communicate too. So that's, I just think those are really cool, things to know about yourself from a young age that can only help you going forward, moving into different situations or different jobs or, you know, even school situations, things like that. So how they interact with one another is just practice for how they interact with the world.
When you're in town during the school year, does your parenting style change?
We have TV in town and internet, and so they're allowed to watch it a little bit more. So they still do have to read a book before they watch a show, even in town and stuff like that. So I'm more lax in terms of that. But at the core, my parenting style doesn't change. They still help. They help a lot when I do the Airbnb house,
mm-hmm.
when I turn it over. They help quite a bit with that. And they're expected to help. And that just, that's something that needs to get done. And it gets done quicker if they help me. And they kind of know that. So Brindle mows the lawn in town. And it's not necessarily his favorite thing. But it's a good thing for him to have to buckle down because I don't love cleaning.
Right.
And so for me to clean the Airbnb, it's not my favorite. And so if it's something we do together
mm-hmm.
and get done quickly, then we can go, you know, head for home, which is what we all want to do, really. Or, you know, it's just sort of managing those have-tos in life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's something that we pushed Nicholas to. He started mowing the lawn this year
mm-hmm.
and loves. I mean, we pay him because he's no dummy, but he's like, any of the outdoor chores, we can, you know, he'll do. He's more willing to do them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, if we had grandpa's riding lawnmower, I'm right. like, yeah, you'd mow the lawn in 3 minutes and you'd mow over all my flowers right. is what would happen. Right. Okay. You'd mow all my green beans mm-hmm. over. That's what would happen. Mommy'd be cranky.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Britta push mows in town too.
Yeah. 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 We don't. Mm-hmm. You can.
Yeah.
You're lucky I don't have one of those little.
Robot
those?
Ones?
No, not the oh. robot ones. The ones that are like didn't have the motor on them with just the oh, blades on
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 1950.
Yeah. yeah.
Watch your mouth, son. He can get sassy. I don't know where he gets that from.
Yeah.
Okay. No it's clue. A mystery
no
to me.
No clue.
No clue. How do you, so I know you're a religious, mm-hmm. faithful person. Mm-hmm. How do you work that in with your kids? Because the fact of the matter is church doesn't make your kid a religious person.
Yeah.
Mom and dad make your kid a religious person. Yeah. So how do you help them grow their faith at home?
Yeah, so God and Jesus are just part of the conversation for us. You know, we pray before dinner and we encourage them to pray and things like that too. So there's some more slightly more regimented maybe moments, but not even really that. So Brindle, here's an example. Brindle was scared the other night. He was at his grandma and grandpa's and he's quite naive and I'm okay with that. But he saw Scooby-Doo and there was a monster in the show, and as I've talked about, he's got a huge imagination. And so he went to bed, and this is just how I was as a kid too. I would believe everything my mind would come up with, you know? So he was sure that there was a monster in his room. And he came right back in our room, and Mom, I'm so scared, I can't sleep, you know, carrying on. So I said, you know, let's just pray to God. You know that God is in there with you. So let's pray that God takes your fear and replaces it with bravery and strength. Your mom and dad are right here. We're across the hall. We're so close, you know. And so Mom and Dad are here and God is here for you. And pray that he just takes that fear mm-hmm. and replaces it with bravery. So any chance we can, it's just kind of a norm within our life versus
we have to go to church. We've got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the only ways to do it. Mm-hmm. If you want your kids to have that same faith, they have to see you practice it
mm-hmm.
and pray, and they have to see you do it every day.
Mm-hmm. It just has to be woven into the structure of your family versus feeling like a separate entity
right.
together.
Right. Like I got to get my kids to Sunday school. That's the right. only way.
Right. No, and it's just not, kind of you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Exposing them and talking about him and talking to him with them.
Makes right. How do you think faith makes a child grow stronger? Like, how do I convince somebody that they do need to talk to their children about faith?
Well, for me, it's just so important knowing that I have God on my side.
That you're never alone.
I'm never alone. That he always wants good for me. And those moments when the devil pulls me down, I just have to seek Jesus and know that he will lift me right back up. And so, I can't let the devil, the enemy, get a hold of my kid. You know,
you got to let them know that there's a place.
Yes.
There's a God that mm-hmm. is standing strong next to you with their sword and a shield. And you have to know whatever boogie monster is on the other end of that, mm-hmm. you've got a bigger
Yeah.
A bigger God standing right next to you.
Yep. So Bo and I say quite often that we're not lucky, we're blessed. So we don't ever really have an excess of money. It always seems like there's something breaking down or a horse is getting hurt or, you know, this and that and the other. It's just always happening. And for us, that is just life. And so the things that we have outweigh so much more than that those monetary things that might be falling apart or things like that. So, you know, as an adult, I lean on that so hard, on that faith and knowing that I'm so truly blessed, even through these things that go wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a kid, for my kids, I just want them to know that even more. All those things that can happen in their lives, none of that is more important than getting into heaven, essentially.
Right.
That is the point of life. That we're not here for monetary things. We aren't here for earthly things. We're here for each other and here to make our way to heaven, and that's just through believing in Jesus. And mm-hmm. so that's first and foremost the most important thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how you start the mm-hmm. parenting process.
Right.
So it sounds like your book is going to be called Parenting with Love, Joy,
and Jesus,
and a little bit of rowdy chaos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They have to be kids. And they aren't kids for very long. That's the deal. You have 18 summers with them. And I'd say you have even less than that. Because
when they're babies, they're not into it. And then
and when they're teens,
they're out.
They're hanging with
their friends. You probably have a good 10, I would say.
8 to 10, where they're like really yours to really to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so my kids are right in that sweet spot where I want them to enjoy, and we want to go play and camp with them and do things like that, while still doing what we need to do each day. So we're trying to find that balance. That's kind of the goal for each day and each week and each summer, really.
Yeah, which goes by so quickly.
It really does.
Those first 5 years are the slowest years of your life. Mm-hmm. I have re-entered those years.
Yeah.
Dear God. And then my son is getting older every day.
Yeah, and they want to go.
And my daughter will be two for literally ever. Literally ever. I believe it. She will be a toddler forever until I die.
Okay.
But my son will, he ages a year every, in a day.
Yeah.
It's so strange how mm-hmm. it all just comes together.
Yeah, so you got to love on them while you've got them.
I try.
You got to love on them, but also let them live. And
let them be, man.
But teach them morals and all the hard things.
Let them get into trouble and not hurt themselves.
Yeah, learn and learn.
Yeah, how do you...
To teach them to learn is a huge thing for mm-hmm. us.
Let them get into safe trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting... That's my kind of my parenting thought process is let them get into safe trouble. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to get in trouble. I'm right here. Let's do it safely.
Find your way out of it.
Right.
Yep. And if you can't find your way out of it, you call mom.
Yeah, and you're... I will save you every single time, son. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But not saving them too quickly.
Right, either. Like, are you in danger?
Yep.
Are you dying? Are you bleeding out?
Right.
I'll be there in 25 minutes, maybe 30.
Let me finish this glass.
Let me finish this book here.
Yeah.
I'm on page 37. So.
Yeah. So at least let me finish the chapter.
Right, right. You're fine.
No, but letting them think through situations... they're learning to not panic. My kids are not panickers necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can darn sure go ahead and panic once in a while, but by nature, they don't immediately go to panicking. And Beau and I don't either. And so they sort of take that from us. But I just don't think it does a world of good to panic first and mm-hmm. then think it through later.
I totally agree with that.
I think if we can ponder the situation and see if there's a way out of it mm-hmm. first, or if it's the end of the world. And if it's not, then how can we take care of it? What do we need to do? What are the steps here? And so they're learning that from a young age, you know, how to sort of meander through situations like that.
Yeah. No, I think that's good because I'm going to therapy learning how to not panic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's tough when that's the... immediate reaction, and that's what you know, that's so hard to unlearn. And so if we can teach them first to, you know, think it through, most situations aren't actually as bad as they look, and they're especially not as bad long term. Like, right. It's something that you might forget next week that it even happened. So if you're going to forget it that it existed next week, we don't need to put that much energy into panicking about it now. Let's put the energy into fixing it, making it better, or making it right.
Can you be my mom? Like, is it too late for me?
Come on in. There's plenty of space.
So final-ish question. In what ways can you give yourself grace as a mother? What ways are you not giving yourself grace, I guess? Or what ways do you, you know, kind of give yourself grace for certain areas?
There are times where I just... probably get too angry too quick. You know, I just, bark at them instead of taking my own advice and not panicking, not reacting, and just calming. So, you know, I'm in that sort of overstimulated situation right now where I have so much of my own pressure coming in because I'm trying to build several facets of a business. And there's a lot I want to do with myself. I'm starting to taste a little bit of freedom as my kids get older. At 8 and 6, I mean, they still are very far from being independent for me, but they're much more independent than they were at, you know, 2 and 4.
And they're in school.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to be able to spread my wings a little bit more. And like I mentioned before, I agreed to parenting these kids. I knew going into it that it was going to be mostly my job. And so I'm not bitter about it. But I am starting to be able to, get out and do things. And so every once in a while, I have a deadline for myself or a deadline that I have to finish. And they're, you know, in my business and just wanting attention or wanting whatever they want. And there are times where I, you know, fall prey and bark at them or do whatever. And so we have to give ourselves grace and know that my kids are going to look back and know they had a wonderful childhood. Mm-hmm. Despite the moments where I, you guys, I got to get this done, you know, bark at them or whatever else. So that's a day to day. I have to give myself grace when those moments happen and they give me the grace too. And I give them grace in return. And yeah, I love the thought of giving grace. It's not relenting necessarily, but just knowing that, you know, God grants us the same grace. And so he grants it to us as his children. So we owe it to ourselves to grant it as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's something mm-hmm. that I really push. I've had to really relearn is giving myself grace for, I wanted these children so badly and sometimes they irritate me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I'm human? Well, this was unexpected.
No kidding. I'm like, I asked for this. Why am I? Yeah. Fighting it. But they're just, I'm in moods or I'm busy or I just don't have the brain capacity for it right then and there. And so it just happens. But
what advice would you give like a new mom who's expecting their first baby?
Oh, I loved when they were little bitty babies. I thought they were easy. Mine weren't colicky or anything, and so there are definitely situations. But everybody's so eager to say, oh, get your sleep now when you can, or, you know.
That's nothing. You can't sleep ahead, and people. So, that's not even normal.
No. So, you know, everybody talks about how it's so hard. And so, but I just threw myself into it selflessly, but enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed when they were little babies. And I didn't try to do too much other stuff, too. So I think that was part of it is... I took that time to really just give them what they needed then. And that felt really good to me.
Be excited is what, yeah. I mean, I think for those little babies. Oh my gosh.
Oh, they're precious.
Those first, I mean, it's exhausting, but
yeah.
Oh my gosh, those little babies.
Yeah. And so if you just focus on giving them what they need and then take care of yourself in the meantime, you know, it generally ends up okay. But if you're headed into it, just worried about it, they're again panicking first and
right.
reacting to the situation after, you know, it's usually not as what people make it to be.
Right.
You're probably tired, but if you kind of accept that that's your reality and you just do the best you can with mm-hmm. what your situation is,
that's not even your full-time you can enjoy reality. That's it. Your short-term reality.
Yeah, you can enjoy it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to my interview with Savannah Simmons. If you'd like to see some of her creative works, including her children's books, Western jewelry, and her viral videos, simply go to my website at SheilaKChester.com to get those links. Fun fact, Savannah and her husband live and work on the same ranch that my grandparents live and worked on in the 1940s, so that is pretty cool. I was visiting my family's much smaller ranch in Western South Dakota during this interview, so I refer a lot to here. That would be my family's ranch. I bring my children to my family ranch as often as I can. Savannah and I continue to talk on the same interview, and she begins to ask me questions. So I cut that off for you for today, but I will be bringing that back as a bonus episode in a couple of weeks. As always, me and my guests are no parenting experts. We are just doing our best in this wild west of parenting. Please give yourself and your family a little more grace today. Thanks for listening.